Mini episode 678 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 678 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our annual Championship Sunday preview. As we always say, it's one of the great days on the calendar as a whole, not just the sports calendar. My usual associate for our weekly football coverage in the lounge, Kyle Ross, is on hiatus this week, dealing with a last-minute issue that arose before taping. It's not my place to get into that any further, no speculation please, but I want to send a shout-out to my good friend and colleague on this day, and I look forward to having him back with me for our Super Bowl preview. I do have his Championship Sunday picks, along with another handicapping note that he passed along just before showtime, which is that road favorites are 6-1 against the spread on Championship Sunday since 1990. Spoiler alert, if you think that note ties into one of his picks, you may be right. Backpedaling for a moment to a divisional playoffs weekend that was a bloodbath for me, I went 0-3-1, dropping to 138-120-6 for the year. Kyle had a better week at 2-1-1, putting him at 57-46-1 for the year. In the playoffs, I'm 3-4-1, while Kyle is 5-2-1. Before I get into any of the X's and O's, it's traditional for our Championship Sunday preview to include our patented FDH Lounge notes and oddities for the doubleheader. First of all, New England is in the AFC Championship game for the fifth consecutive year. Only the 1973-77 Raiders can match that stretch. Interestingly, Oakland also had a four-year run from 1967-70 that also only resulted in one Super Bowl berth, so the Silver and Black went 2-7 in a nine-year stretch on Championship Sunday. Whatever happens with the Patriots on Sunday will still place them well ahead of that dismal mark in the history books. Their 5-in-a-row stretch comes after a three-year break from 2008-2010 that was itself preceded by a 5-times-in-7-years run from 2001-2007. The last five AFC Championship games have been hosted by either Denver or New England. This is an unprecedented run in either conference going back to the AFL-NFL merger of 1970. If New England wins, they push Pittsburgh for most AFC championships ever with 9. If Denver wins, they join New England and Pittsburgh in a three-way tie with 8. This is the first time the two teams have met in the AFC Championship game for the second time but non-consecutive in a three-year interval since the Broncos and Browns during the 1987 and 1989 seasons. It hasn't happened in the NFC since the Vikings and Rams met to end the 1974 and 1976 conference seasons. The Panthers will be trying to do what no team has done since the 2004 Philadelphia Eagles, be an Eastern time zone team that wins the NFC Championship on their home turf. The Giants won twice on the road during this time period, the 2007 and 2011 seasons, while Atlanta ended the 2012 NFC season with a loss at home. Both Carolina in the 2003 season and Arizona in the 2009 season upended Philadelphia to win the NFC Championship in those campaigns, their only previous NFC championships. This century has been more top-heavy in the AFC than in the NFC when it comes to playing on Championship Sunday. Of the 32 berths available in the 16 seasons since 2000, they have gone to 9 teams in the AFC. Out of the 32 berths available in the NFC, they have gone to 13 teams. The difference is pretty stark in terms of conference champions during that time span as well. 6 different winners in the AFC with 11 in the NFC. If New England and Carolina win, they'll join Miami, Washington, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Buffalo, New York Giants, New England, and San Francisco, Cincinnati as the only Super Bowl rematches in history. Of course, the Cowboys and Steelers have actually met 3 times. If Arizona wins, It will keep the NFC Championship in the West for the fourth consecutive year, following the last two going to Seattle and the previous one going to San Francisco. One division has not had four consecutive NFC championships since the East held them from 1990 to 93. First the Giants, then the Redskins, then the last two to the Cowboys. New England is an actual road favorite, and Carolina is only a nominal home favorite. So how common is the sweep by road teams? Baltimore and San Francisco did it during the 2012 season, but you've got to go back to the 1997 season with Denver and Green Bay to find the last previous example, and that's the only other example. Okay, now let's get into the games themselves. In the opener, it's 13-4 New England at 13-4 Denver, of course, for the AFC Championship at Mile High. 3:05 Eastern Time on CBS, Nance Sims and Wolfson on the call. New England is laying what has been a steady 3 points all week, tying back to Kyle's earlier point about road faves being 6-1 since 1990 on this day. Let's get into the tail of the tape. In the final FDH power rankings for the regular season, New England was third, Denver sixth. In our strength of schedule ratings based off of that determination, New England was 26th, Denver was 9th. In the corresponding impressiveness of victories index, New England was 15th, Denver was 2nd. On defense, Denver was 4th in the league in points allowed, New England 10th. Measuring the units by defensive yards allowed, Denver was 1st, New England 9th. In terms of defensive passing yards, Denver was 1st, New England 17th. In terms of defensive rushing yards, Denver was 3rd, New England 9th. On offense, New England was 3rd in the league with points scored, Denver 19th. Total yardage tells a similar story with New England 6th, Denver 16th. In terms of offensive passing yards, New England was 5th, Denver 14th. And it's only in the rushing yards that Denver takes the upper hand, with a middle-of-the-pack 17 ranking up against the Patriots at 30. Additionally, Denver only converted on 35.3% of their third downs this season, so they've got to do a better job in that regard if they are going to have a chance on Sunday. There's no doubt that the Patriots, with Edelman and Gronk back, look a lot better than the Broncos at the moment. Consider how they carved up a Chiefs defense vastly superior to Pittsburgh's last week, while Denver struggled and was primarily reduced to kicking field goals against the Steelers. Many in the football media have been doing an excellent job of carrying the league's water in the past few days, trying to pump up drama where there appears to be little. Yes, Brady and Belichick have not done well historically against Denver, nor on the road in the playoffs. Yes, Peyton Manning was plagued by many dropped passes last week, although his overall accuracy was scattershot and, quite frankly, sad. But the Denver defense is going to have to decisively win their battle with Tom Brady for the team to gain victory, and as great as they are, their somewhat more human play since the first half of the season doesn't engender enough confidence for me. I see the mirror image of the game these teams had in this very spot 2 years ago, with New England winning firmly but not in a blowout. I'll take the Pats, 31-17, so yes, I'll lay the 3 points, as will Kyle. We are in agreement on this one. In the nightcap, which is being counter-programmed by the Royal Rumble in a suicidal move on Vince McMahon's part, 16-1 Carolina hosts 14-3 Arizona in the NFC Championship game with a 6:40 kickoff from Obama bailed out Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte on Fox. Buck, Aikman, and Andrews are on the call. The line for this one has been steady all week, with the Panthers laying the standard boring 3 points at home. In the tail of the tape, Carolina finished first in the final FDH power rankings with Arizona second. The Glass Jaw Panthers, however, finished 32nd in strength of schedule with Arizona 20th. Carolina was 11th in the impressiveness of victories index with Arizona 7th. Defensively, Arizona was 7th in points allowed, Carolina 6th. And similarly, Arizona was 5th in total yards allowed with Carolina 6th. In passing yards, Arizona was 8th in the league at surrendering them, with Carolina 11th, but the Panthers were a tiny bit better than the Cardinals against the run, 4th place to 6th place. Offensively, Carolina was 1st in points scored and 11th in yards tallied, whereas Arizona was more consistent, placing 2nd in points and 1st in yards. The Cards were 2nd in passing yards, with the Panthers down to 24th, but Carolina rebounded in rushing yards, finishing 2nd, with Arizona 8th. In other statistical notes, Both teams were incredible on third down, but Arizona was better, 47% to 42.4%. And given that they were a bit better on third down defense as well, 35.7 to 37.9, it's likely that the scenario for a Cardinal win centers on building that edge in this game on both sides of the ball. I harped on Carolina's weak strength of schedule last week, and on the surface, their first half thumping of Seattle proved that it's not an issue, but I don't believe that an in-depth examination justifies that conclusion. To me, this game was an extreme outlier, not unlike the Super Bowl from 2 years ago, except that the Seahawks were on the other end of this one. When a team self-destructs as rapidly as Seattle did, then you get a game that plays out that way maybe about 3% of the time. I question the Panthers' ability to stand in there in a slugfest against a top team, and that game did nothing to address that issue. On the other hand, them being dominated in the second half did not alarm me, since their sole objective was to grind out the remaining 30 minutes such that Seattle could not catch them. It was a closer call than they or their fans wanted, but they got the job done. I don't think that they will this week. The weather seems set to render this one an atypical setting in the southeast, even in winter, as that monstrous East Coast storm is going to clip the Carolinas by a decent amount. Hence, we don't seem likely to get the shootout that might materialize on the fast track of Glendale, even with these great defenses. Each team is working through late-season injuries in the secondary, but the Cardinals are better equipped to exploit that issue offensively with their receiving depth. In the end, I see a battle of attrition with field position that ends up with the second road winner of the day, marking only the third time since the AFL-NFL merger of 1970 that has transpired. I'll take the Cardinals 20-16, so I don't think they'll even need the 3 points. Kyle agrees with me again, so we're going to rise or fall together with our Championship Sunday picks. We thank you for tuning into this abridged preview show, and we look forward to bringing you our Super Bowl preview show back at full strength in 2 weeks.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.